Belinda will now share our gospel reading.
The gospel is from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He had got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him.
Thank you, Belinda. This is a very familiar story. It occurs in both Matthew and Mark. But here in Luke's version, unlike Matthew and Mark, we get a little bit of the backstory to the calling of these first disciples, these fishermen. Because if you look in chapter 4, you'll see that Jesus performs a healing of a man with an evil spirit in the synagogue at Capernaum, which is where Simon and his family and James and John lived and did their work as fishermen. And after he left the synagogue, then he went to Simon's house. And Simon's mother-in-law was sick with a high fever, and he healed her. And then after spending the rest of Shabbat with them, when Shabbat ended at sunset, crowds and crowds of people pressed around wanting healing, and he healed many, many more. But then the next day, he went on to other towns, teaching the word of God. And then one day, this day, we don't know how much later, he had a whole crowd with him there by the lake. Gennesaret is the same as Galilee, same lake, just different names for different cultures, different languages. And he saw these two boats on the shore, one of them being Simon's, and he got into the boat and said, "Push out a little bit so that the crowd could see him and hear him without just them being pressing in all around him." I joked with the Bible study group on Tuesday night because it said he told him to push out and then he sat down. I said, every time I've tried to stand in a boat, I ended up in the water. So let's hope he sat down before they pushed him out. But anyway, he went out and sat sitting in the boat and taught them from there. And then when he was finished and the crowd had kind of, you know, he told him go on, he told Simon to put out further into the deep and let down their nets. Simon's response, "We've been doing this all night and we've caught nothing. We're tired." And he's doubtful. "You know, all right, if you say so, I'll do it." But Simon knew about fishing. He knew the good time for fishing had already passed and they hadn't caught a thing. So he's skeptical. The rabbi has shifted into Simon's area of expertise. Simon's sure he knows a little more than Jesus about fishing in the Lake of Galilee. But out of respect, "If you say so, I'll do it." So they go out into the deep. Simon, James, and John, Simon at least, just that one boat, took the risk, the chance. Maybe Jesus would be right. Doing what Jesus says, trusting in God, having faith in a world of doubt, often can be like that. It's often a gamble, a risk we take, and we can't know unless we try it whether it will make a difference in our lives. So much of the time we think we know what's possible. But in fact, only God knows what's possible. So they went out and let down their nets. And their nets were filled with fish, overflowing, more fish than they had ever caught in all their lives. That's the way it is with Jesus and the reign of God, as we see it revealed over and over again in the Gospels. There's always more than enough. God's bountiful generosity is revealed in Jesus' ministry, in fish, in bread, in so many different ways, in healings of people. Over and over again, Jesus shows abundance. And Simon was overwhelmed, amazed, humbled, repentant, falling on his knees. "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." He had experienced awe. He had realized that he was in the presence of power and holiness like he'd never known in his life. And Jesus' answer always is, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And then he says, "From now on, you're going to be catching people." And they left everything and followed him. That's the point Luke, I think, wants us most clearly to hear, that they left everything and followed him. The five or six of us at Bible study Tuesday night really found ourselves stuck on that. We had a hard time with it. We kept working around with, what does leaving everything mean? What about their families? Didn't they have wives and children to take care of? Did they just disappear forever? What happened to them? Did they really just go off and not come back? Or did they, go off for a little forays, business trip and come back home for a while? We don't know, although we do know that there are indications that Capernaum, where these men were from, was Jesus's home base, sort of, for his ministry. But it just was really interesting. The group of us were really bothered with the idea that they would have left, to follow Jesus, they would have left everything and everyone behind. But it does seem that that's the point Luke wants to make. They were willing to leave everything for Jesus. They changed their entire lives in order to follow him. Wednesday night, a number of us were able to listen to Debbie Allen have her share her presentation about Iona, where she went 3 years ago and is going back again on a pilgrimage in a few weeks. When Debbie was sharing about the Iona, the island off the coast of Scotland that's been a center of spirituality, of Christian faith since the 6th century, she talked about Columba, who was an Irish abbot who left Ireland with 12 monks and landed on Iona in 563 AD, who was the founder of the monastery, the abbey, that's still there in a certain form even today. And what struck me was that she talked about how when they landed, the story is that they climbed up this hill, and this hill is still called the hill where you can't see Ireland. Because when they landed, Columba wanted to be sure that they had gone far enough that they couldn't look back. It's a telling story, isn't it? He needed to leave some things behind. Although he had already become an abbot, a leader in the church in Ireland, he was also from a wealthy family and had gotten mixed up in some conflicts that had ended in some fighting and some people being killed. So part of his motivation for becoming a missionary was penance, a repentance, a turning away from the power he had as a member of that powerful family in Ireland. So he takes his 12 monks and he sails in this boat to Scotland and founds Iona, which becomes the center of missionary outreach, the conversion of much of Scotland and Northern England, all radiated out from Iona. Debbie says that today when you go to Columba's Bay, there's a tradition There's these beautiful rocks. He showed us pictures of all different colors. And part of the tradition is that you pick up a rock and you throw it in the bay after you've named what you need to leave behind. What you need to leave behind. And then you can also, if you choose, pick up a rock and take it with you in terms of what you're claiming as you go forward. So I thought about that this week with this story. Most of us, I don't think that I'm aware of any of us hearing God's call to go to some strange new land. Although having grown up with missionary parents, I know that can happen even in the modern day. But I think the question still is here for all of us. What do we need to leave behind right now to follow Jesus? What do we need to let go of, to release, to surrender, to give up? What do we need? How do we need to unclench our fists in order to receive the abundance of God's gifts for us? We cannot receive when we're hanging on tight. It just doesn't work. We cannot know grace when we're trying to do things out of our own power and our own strength. And so the invitation of the life of faith is always about letting go. It's always about leaving behind whatever would hold us back, whatever weight of sin or guilt or grief drags us down, whatever fear keeps us from living in hope and faith. What do we need to release? What do we need to let go of to follow Jesus this year? On this day when we receive communion, we come to this table to remember Christ's life given for us. Jesus gave everything. Paul writes about Christ surrendering, giving up all his heavenly powers in order to become one with us. And then here on earth, he gave his life for love of God and love of all of us. He shows us the way to live, the way of surrender, the way of freedom, the way of release, the way of letting go in order to know and receive the fullness of God. So we come together, drink a little juice or wine, eat a bit of bread, but we are remembering, we are celebrating, we are putting our faith in the life Jesus shows us, the life of trusting in him, the life of letting go control and believing that there is grace and mercy and food, fish enough for what we need. What we need is here as we walk by faith. Day by day.